Welcome to Mystical Dispute, the limited Magic the Gathering debate podcast. I'm Garrett Gardner, a.k.a. G-Guards.
And I'm Carl Chase, a.k.a. Tuda Cubed.
Today, we are going to discuss Diregraph Scavenger.
Diregraph Scavenger is 3 and 1 black mana for a 2-3 Death Touch Zombie Bear. When Diregraph Scavenger enters the battlefield, exile up to 1 target card from a graveyard. If a creature card was exiled in this way, each opponent loses 2 life and you gain 2. Life. Garrett, what's your take?
My take? Initially, I thought this was replaceable, but the data and my experience is saying otherwise.
And my take is this is somewhat of a Swiss Army knife. It does a little bit of everything you want it to do.
Makes sense. Let's head straight into
Data Crunch.
What does the data say? Where is it good and where is it bad? First of all, I would like to point out that I say data and you say data. I think they are both technically correct, but I find the way that you say it corrosive and offensive.
It's like GIF and GIF or whatever.
GIF is way worse. GIF over GIF is like completely inexcusable.
Oh my god, I'm a GIF guy.
Oh god. Well, it's been nice knowing you, Garrett. I don't know how you're going to have a debate podcast with just one person, but that's it for me. I'm Carl Chase, a.k.a. 2DuckCubed, and I will no longer be on this podcast. Goodbye.
I guess every week you're going to quit.
One of these days it might happen.
So, early in a format, I question everything, including myself, as much as I can. And the reason for this is, you might notice from our last episode, Lantern Bearer, I tend to be wrong a lot early.
Again, less offensive than the whole learn lesson take. We don't need to rehash that one, so.
But I am very skeptical of early takes. So I want to know from you what you think about this stuff from the data we have so far. You know, sample size from any given person's experience on today is day 4 of the format is so small, but how's the sample size on 17 lands?
So right now, we've actually got a pretty solid amount of data for the commons. We're up to over 20,000 games for the top played commons right now from 17 lands. And once you get to about 5,000 games played, you're usually going to be in a pretty solid range in terms of what it will tell you towards the end of the format. Viral Misnomer, aka Robert from 17 lands, pulled together a graph that showed game in hand win rates by day for different cards. Like literally just what was the game in hand win rate on Tuesday versus Wednesday versus Thursday versus Friday. And it sounds silly, but it gives you an idea of like how noisy the data can be. And for a lot of the cards, like especially the higher played cards, you were in like a 2 or 3 point range. Now we're through 4 days. I do not expect that the top 10 commons will change a ton between now and the end of the format, or at a minimum. I think the likelihood that you get a card that was maybe 25th right now or 20th right now end up making it to the top 10, I think is somewhat unlikely.
Right.
Unless someone finds like the Clear the Mind deck or the Spider Spawning deck, some hidden super combo, you know, super niche deck. Niche? Super specific deck.
This is the pronunciation episode.
Potato, potato, tomato, tomato.
I was actually watching the recent breakdown you did on your Twitch stream where you compared the top commons in Vow to the top commons in Midnight Hunt in the same time period. You made a really interesting point that surprised me, actually, is that most of the top commons, it ended up just applying to the rest of the format.
Yeah, the seminar that I did was like literally after one day. And through one day of Midnight Hunt, Organ Hoarder was number 1.
Well, yeah.
I think Diregraph Horde was number 2. Ecstatic Awakener was number 3. More or less, the top 10 cards after one day of Midnight Hunt were all in the top 13 or so cards by the end of the format. At least for commons.
But I do want to reiterate that just the game in hand win rate, which we're using for shorthand to rank everything, that's not enough information to say like this card is objectively better than this card always and you should always take it over there, right?
Of course. It's certainly the card that people have won more games with to this particular point.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's learning the format, especially early in a format. You get, I think, a wider range of players playing. Like there's a lot of drafters, I think, that are drafting to build their collections for Constructed as well.
I mean, I noticed that just playing like the first couple weeks, you know, the competition is a lot softer because it feels like there's more maybe casual players who are just trying it out right in the beginning, or maybe there's people who mainly play Constructed, like you say. I always assumed that that added to the noise of the 17 lands data.
if you go back and look at Midnight Hunt, after 2 days or so, you had about a 57% win rate for 17 lands players, which by the end of the format dropped to 56%. So not a huge difference, but, you know, a 1 point win rate for more dedicated limited players, the type of player that's going to be using 17 lands, is somewhat meaningful.
Why don't we talk about this specific card and why it was so shocking?
As we talked about, pretty representative sample for commons at this point, and Diagraph Scavenger is the common with the fourth highest win rate amongst all commons right now.
I mean, that kind of blew me away. I saw this card in the spoiler, and I thought it would be fine or whatever, but my experience with it so far has lined up with this data that it's been performing really well when I have it, and it was performing great on the other side of the table. What about breakdown for all the four color pairs with black?
It appears to be in its best in white-black, where it is the best common by a pretty healthy margin and has a 60% win rate, which is quite good.
Life gain synergies in that color pair, right?
Life gain synergies in that color pair, yep. It's the second highest common in blue-black.
Yep. It's a zombie, so there's zombie tribal.
In black-red and black-green, it's solid in both of those color pairs, but nowhere near the top.
Right.
Obviously, in black-red, there's going to be vampire synergies, mm-hmm. So I think going all in on some of those, and probably a little bit more of an aggressive deck on average. And for black-green, the data's a little bit more thin. It's a color pair that hasn't been played quite as much, so it's only got 2,800 games played as of the recording of this episode, so I think that's going to be just a little bit thin to get a strong read, but it's not near the top of the common win rates for that color pair.
And with that in mind, let's head into
Pulse Check.
Does the community over or underrate it at large?
One of the best ways to check this out is to understand how late it's going in draft packs.
Right.
You can head over to 17 Lands, check out the card ratings tab, and use the ALSA statistic, which is average last seen at. Basically, when's the last opportunity that you have to draft the card?
Mm-hmm.
And right now, out of the commons, it is the 24th highest picked common in the set. So it's the fourth highest win rate common, but the 24th highest picked common. I think that means it's underrated.
Yeah, that's a pretty big delta. But as people learn the format, they're going to adjust their pick orders. So we could see a lot of fluctuation both with how highly it's taken and how many wins it's creating, right?
Yeah, 100%. I think especially in the first week of the format is when you see the most adjustment in pick orders. Like if you go back to Midnight Hunt, for example, Organ Hoarder, which, as we know, is the best common
ever.
Yeah, it's certainly one of the best commons we've ever seen.
Certainly.
Right out of the gates, Organ Hoarder was taken right around the same spot that Diagraph Scavenger is taken now, with this ALSA stat was right around at a 5.
Wow.
Once you got through the first week, it shot all the way up to 3.5, which doesn't sound like that big of a deal, like 5 or 3.5, but that means you're seeing it like almost 50% more
right
than if it's going 5th. So I mean, that's a pretty big delta. This first week is when people are adjusting their pick orders. People are going to continue to take it earlier and earlier.
Well, it reminds me a bit of Vampire Spawn from the D&D set. The 2 and a black for a 2/3 that drained 2 when it entered the battlefield. And that card ended up being a sleeper hit. So I wonder if that's part of what people will catch on to and it'll stop going so late.
It's very much a card that people seem to underrate early on. I put a Twitter thread about just quick and dirty observations from the early data of 17 lands. And people started talking about Diagraph Scavenger being up so high. Ryan Sachs made the comment, "This type of card has overperformed every time we have seen it. And not just by looking at the data. I think black creature with ETB drain 2 should probably just move up to be evaluated as common you're happy to draft multiples of in most black decks." And then Sam Black responded, "True, at least as far back as Blind Hunter from the original Ravnica block." So clearly there's a history of this effect surprising people. And maybe it just stopped surprising us that this is a really good effect.
It's essentially, I think, drain is good. If something drains you, it swings the race in your favor. And it just seems like a significant effect for an enter the battlefield.
And to a certain extent, we see the same thing with lifelink, which is essentially drain on a creature.
So you're telling me life gain is good and limited?
You know, I'm seeing a theme here.
I'm seeing a
recurring theme here.
It's kind of creeping me out, but here we are.
Obviously, you don't just want to play healing self.
Right.
But when you compare incidental life gain on something that does another thing.
Life gain stapled to something that actually matters.
Exactly.
Well, all that being said, where do you currently
rank it.
When do you play it and when do you not play it?
I think this is a card that I'm happy to play in a very large majority of my decks.
Yep.
I think I would have to get to a pretty linear type of deck before I would consider cutting it or just be super, super glutted up on ridiculously good four drops. But for the most part, this card kind of does everything you want it to do in most decks.
For me, when I saw this card, I knew I was going to end up playing it in lots of decks, but I didn't think I was going to be happy about it. And now with this data and my experience so far, I kind of feel like I'm going to be actively seeking it out. And it feels like it can basically belong in almost any deck. So it seems like a good speculative pick, even if you know you're black and you don't know your second color yet.
Well, and let's kind of break it down too, right? What is this card doing on most boards? So you play it, you get a drain out of it. Maybe you get something out of the graveyard, which is just extra bonus. And now all of a sudden it's going to brick wall their best creature on their board with Death Touch as well. So that means that unless they have a removal spell, you've drained, you've helped to stabilize, you've essentially removed their best creature, or you've taken a removal spell from their hand.
Right, so those 2 points are key, I think. It usually can trade with their best creature, or it demands a removal spell, which I think is particularly significant in this format because both the removal is much worse than the last set, and the rares feel much bombier, and they have to be answered, which means that removal, even though it's worse, is still at a premium, so this card either answers the ground bomb, or it soaks up one of their essential removal spells. Those things combined, I think, is potentially one of the reasons the card is performing so well.
Totally agree.
And it's essentially acting like removal, which is another reason it could be pretty good. In Midnight Hunt, the removal actually performed worse than the common value creatures, but in Vow, removal is generally performing better.
This is probably more normal, right? I think you see the best removal be some of the better commons in a lot of limited formats, but it was not the case in Midnight Hunt. So if you eat an Abrade or a Sigarda's Imprisonment or a Bleed Dry, now it opens the way for maybe a bomb later on, or it opens the way for another card.
Exactly. So if you are the one with the bomb in your hand and they have to use their Abrade on your dorky Death Touch creature, then now your scary bomb or whatever doesn't have to worry about the removal that's in their hand.
For sure. So obviously there's still strategies that are going to go over the top of this, but in combination with other cards, it's certainly doing the types of things you want to do against the aggro decks that exist in the format.
So we both like it a lot, and we think you should pick it fairly highly. What about the
instruction manual?
How do you play it, and how do people misplay it? I think we talked pretty well about how we should play it. It's a pretty straightforward card, but let's maybe focus on how people might misplay it. My initial thought on it was it is 4 mana for a 2/3, which is a little bit sad. It's certainly sad when you're beating down.
It seems like the kind of card that, like, it stands on its own pretty well, but it's also not the card that's just going to win you the game either.
Right.
It's just a good card to go in a deck, but you still got to draft your whole deck around it, just like with any other deck of limited you're playing.
Yeah, and I do caution, 4 mana is a lot of mana. There's only so many 4 drops you can put in your deck. So you can't just jam like 10 of these and expect to win, I think.
100% agree. One spot that I think is a potential way someone can misplay it is, you saw this with Diagraph Horde in Midnight Hunt. People holding the card to try to gain value out of the graveyard removal piece of it. Certainly there could be spots where it's correct to do that, but I think 9 times out of 10, just holding it and like not playing a card or not spending your mana and not getting it on the board is likely going to be wrong. And furthermore, like if there's not a creature card in the graveyard to get the drain, it still can be correct to play the card as a 2/3 Death Touch. So you're going to have to assess timing on the card.
Right. And another point I want to make, you can exile a creature from your own graveyard to get the drain, even if you're exiling a creature with Disturb sometimes.
It could be correct.
Exactly, yeah. It's a 4-point life swing, and it'll be one of the more interesting things about this format is deciding when you should use your value creatures in your graveyard for a trigger like this, or to actually get back as an enchantment or whatever.
I love these cards so much from a design perspective because it really puts the onus on the player to make the right call on timing. What we've learned from the data is that when you spend 4 mana in today's limited environments, you need to get something out of that 4 mana. 4 mana, 4/3 do nothings typically have terrible win rates,
right,
for example. So that means that if you're not spending your 4 mana at all and just doing nothing on turn 4, probably also pretty darn bad for you, which means you need to find something good to do. Okay, so now you've got this 4 mana 2/3, but maybe you don't have the opportunity to get your drain out of it. Is it correct to play it? Probably is, but it might not. Maybe they have something really important to get out of the graveyard and you need to get that. We're not sure if that's that's correct or not. It could be, it could not be. Like, there's so many decision points on this one card, and it just turns these cards into these modal cards without actually having modes.
Yeah, I mean, the more decisions that you have to make in Limited, the more fun you have playing Limited, especially when you're a competitive player like we are.
Totally. And they've done this with all sorts of other cards too. Like, you take a card like Search Party Captain, 4-mana 2/2 draw a card, but like actually had a whole ton of decisions. Like, should I attack with my whole team to try to play it for one? Should I bluff with my creature? Should I just hold back and play it for four? Should I build my deck a little bit differently? Maybe I should play creatures earlier on as opposed to playing the removal spell early. Like, there's all these hyper little micro decisions in a card like Search Party Captain and Diagraph Scavenger, and I love the way these cards play out.
Who knew that the more interactive a game is, the more fun people have playing it?
It's funny how that works, Garrett.
It's why Hexproof is everybody's favorite mechanic, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's not a joking topic. Yeah,
no, you're right.
Hexproof is terrible.
Make jokes about such a touchy subject.
It shouldn't have ever been created. We shouldn't joke about that. It's just not really an appropriate thing to joke about.
I apologize.
I mean, look at this mythic too, like this Averbrook Caretaker or whatever that just gives your whole team Hexproof on Nightbound. It's like the coolest, most powerful mythic in the set, and everybody hates it. Literally everybody hates it.
All right, well, that about wraps it up. So thanks for listening to Mystical Dispute. You can check out our website at mysticaldispute.com. I'm Garrett Gardner. You can find me at twitch.tv/gguards.
And I'm Carl Chase. You can find me at twitch.tv/2duckcubed.
Shout out to 17 Lands for the data, for real. Please check them out at 17lands.com, and you can support them on Patreon. Until next time, stay chill.
Adios.